It's when the refiner really comes in and says, it's time to really refine. It's time for you to look to me in all things. Before you, you check with me. Before you, you... Yes, it got really quiet. Now, this is a Nazarene church, right? Whew, I just did membership and talked about it. So at least those of you that have been in membership, you're with me. But I'd like you to turn and you're going to say, where in the world does this come to sanctification? It's the way in which Paul speaks. It's what he says. And it's also the reason behind why he's not there. And so if you've got your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to 2 Corinthians 12 through 24 there in chapter 1. And once you have that, if you would please stand. And then you're going to say, Pastor, how in the world are we talking about God's mission field when we're talking about sanctification? Because you can only really understand God's mission field, okay, when it is your field, right? It's hard to understand when it's not your field. And so today we're going to talk about this step as a Christian. I can't believe y'all. I can hardly see you up here. But now as you stand, y'all really did brave the snow. I am so proud of you. Just be careful going home so I don't take these words back. Anyway, starting in verse 12. Now, I love this because I want you to see that he is boasting in humility. See, oftentimes we think of boasting, we say, well, you can't do that. Church, if we don't start sharing and confessing and speaking and saying our testimony and sharing our hearts, okay, we are far from being like Paul. Paul boasted in humility. People knew that he was. People knew who he was. People knew that he served Christ in a very intimate way. Why? Because he shared. Why? Because he was bold. Why? Because he was okay with being who he was in Christ and letting Christ take care of the rest. And so here we see him right at the beginning. We understand that he wrote this letter not actually being present. What's interesting is the people were what? They were mad that he wasn't there. Don't you get mad sometimes when you set everything up? You're supposed to have this, and then it doesn't happen. And I think after COVID, it's easier because we've had these things happen. I mean, letdown after letdown. So-and-so is supposed to come over, and they got sick. And we're used to that. But here, they were a little upset with Paul. Why? Because he wasn't where he said he was going to be. Now, if you know about Paul very, very much, you'll know that after he wrote this letter, many months down the road, guess where he got to be? There. See, oftentimes we just have to be a little what? Patient. But here he is in verse 12, for our boast is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we behaved in the world with simplicity and godly sincerity, not by earthly wisdom, but by the grace of God and supremely so toward you. For we are not writing you anything other than what you read and understand, and I hope you will fully understand. Just as you did partially understand us. I want you to think about verse 13. For we are not writing to you anything other than what you read. Meaning, guess what's not there? All that we do in our head. Right? Because see, when things go awry, we all of a sudden begin to what? Think in our minds. And I love this because Paul's already speaking to the mind. Paul's already saying, don't think more than what's in this letter. Don't think more about why I'm not here. I'm going to let you know why I'm not here. Because I was sure of this, I wanted to come to you first so that you might have a second experience, that you might have a second experience of grace. I wanted to visit you on my way to Macedonia and to come back to you from Macedonia and have you send me on my way to Judea. Was I vacillating when I wanted to do this? Do I make my plans according to the flesh, ready to say yes, yes, and no, no at the same time? As surely as God is faithful, our word to you has not been yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, whom we proclaimed among you, Silvanus and Timothy and I, was not yes and no, but in him it is always yes. For all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. This is key. And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us and who has also put his seal on us and given us his spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. But I called God to witness against me. It was to spare you that I refrained. I love this. This is pretty interesting. But I call you, God, to witness against me. It was to spare you that I refrained from coming again to Corinth, not that we lord it over your faith, but we work with you for your joy, for you stand firm in your faith. For I made up my mind not to make another painful visit to you. Don't you love that? Wouldn't you love if your family called and said, look, this year I'm just not making one more painful visit to you at Christmas, okay? This is where it gets really good. So Paul said in the beginning, hey, I'm going to let you know all the reasons, and he surely did. For I made up my mind not to make another painful visit to you. For if I cause you pain, who is there to make me glad but the one whom I have pained? And I wrote as I did, so that when I came, I might not suffer pain from those who should have made me rejoice. Meaning, coming together as Christians, we should what? Rejoice. For I felt sure of all of you that my joy would be the joy of you all. For I wrote to you out of much affliction and anguish of heart, and with many tears, not to cause you pain, but to let you know the abundant love that I have for you. Beautiful. God, today, in the midst of all that's happening around us, COVID, snow, stuff, life, sickness, vehicles, we look to you. So right now, God, we put all that aside. Many have battled to be here today. And so today, let them hear your fullness. Let them hear your grace, your love, your mercy. But God, today also let them hear your challenge. There's a challenge in this word. There's a challenge in the boldness. And so today, come in your fullness and speak to us. Today, challenge our hearts. Today, change us. Today, God, come against the enemy in the name of Jesus. He still has no power against you. And so today, let us stand in your power. Let us stand firm. Let us stand in truth and grace and mercy and love. And so today, we come against the enemy in the name of Jesus. And today, we place this time into your hands. And we ask that you would continue to draw us into your journey, not ours. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to just encourage you. This one will go really well with last week. And so if you didn't watch last week, go back and listen to it. Go with me on this. And we're going to continue kind of understanding what it means to be in God's mission field. And see, placement is key. And so I want you to just kind of remember that as we go along. But saying yes to the second yes. Now let me give you an example, okay? And I've been ragging on my wife a lot, but the second yes was better, okay? And so the first yes is what, right? It's based out of just love and like, I mean, I saw my wife, and many of you know this, but many of you don't. We met in June, right? The Army, I'm wearing my Army boots today too because I thought I have to like rough through the snow, but I got here so early that ain't no snow happened. I just walked in the office and I was ready to just, but anyway, you know, these are like special to me. I know that's so weird, but anyway, I wear them, just get chills thinking about some of those days. But I met her when I was in the Army and got to Fort Hood, and as any good Nazarene, I put in my GPS, the Nazarene church that was closest, because that Sunday, I got there Friday, and you knew where I'd be on that Sunday, right? Y'all, because, oh, you're getting on my nerve. You know, a good Nazarene, right? You get to where you're going to go, and before Sunday, you find out where you're going to go. So Saturday, I went three times to the same lot, and it just led me to a field in Killeen, and come to find out the Killeen Church, the Nazarene, had sold that lot and moved to a different lot, but on the GPS, it still took me to the empty lot. So what did I do? I went to the next Church of the Nazarene. I didn't go to no Baptist church. We were in the South. I said, I'm going to the Nazarene church. Sorry if you're a longtime Baptist. But anyway, I went going to the Baptist church, and they were on every corner in Texas. And so anyway, I drove 30 minutes to the nearest Church of the Nazarene, which was Temple First Church of the Nazarene, where Ashley's dad was the preacher. Okay. And so anyway, of what, 14, 15 years at the time. And so I met their family, and crazy enough, it was that first Sunday, okay, this is back a ways, we don't do this anymore because we're scared of people, but on that first Sunday, the pastor came up to me and said, I understand you're in the Army. I said, yes. He said, why don't you come over to my house for lunch? I was like, what? I mean, you don't know me? I mean, I'm from, anyway, so I went over to their house for lunch, right? And you weren't there. And was it the next Sunday? I get this all. The next Sunday, I went to lunch to their house again because their other daughter, Amber, who you've met, she said that she had met Ashley's husband. And so anyway, so I said, well, if that's the case, then I'll come back the next Sunday. And I parked in her spot under the tree in Texas where it was really hot in June. It was like, what, 100? That summer was 100 every day for like 3 months. Anyway, and she came in and said, who's parked under my, at the time I had a big blue truck, which I sold after marrying her. That's the second yes. But anyway, yeah, we could use it now, couldn't we? The camper would be, oh, it would have paid off and everything. Anyway, I ended up being right in that one 12 years later. But parked my truck there. She came in and said, somebody parked in my shade. And anyway, she said some other things. And her mother, who's a good longtime Nazarene, said, oh, Ashley. And anyway, because you can just imagine what Ashley said in those first couple of moments. They thought it was over and it was love at first sight. And so we met in June, married in August, the same August, like the same year. You all see, you're looking at me like I'm crazy. It's why I don't talk to the youth, because I'm not encouraging them to do that. We don't tell our kids that. We don't tell Janae. They're not going to find out because they don't need to know. You better know that boy for 2 years before I even consider letting him in my house. Well, anyway, but they let me in their house before I ever, okay. So there's this first yes. You know, you've fallen in love. You see her. Everybody says it's God's best, and it just begins to work. Then there's a second yes. You know what that's called? It's called she had a house and I had a, and we put it together, and all of a sudden it's like, no, we're keeping, no, we're not, that means. And I said, well, all of a sudden the old yes, right, became a little bit harder because the new yeses started coming into play. It was like life started to change. So our first year of marriage, would you say it was terrible? Gosh, God bless, we're still here today, y'all. But our first year of marriage, we got married old. At least we thought we were old. I still feel old. But anyway, we were set in our ways. You know what I'm saying? We'd been to school. She had a great job for the state, flew all over. And she'd come home, and I would have done some things. And then when I would, I don't mean like out and about. I mean in the home. You know what I'm saying? Because we argued a lot in the home about where things went. But I've come to understand that that's her. You know what I'm saying? Like that's her place, her space. And after a year, things began to get what? Better. Some decisions were made, some influences with my family were established that I chose her, and so my second yes was telling my family, she's my first yes. And then things changed, and things have never been the same with my family, and they probably never will be. Why? Because my first yes was a biblical covenant that had a call in my heart. Now, I said last week, I said, well, you know what? We don't just marry people because God said so, but I really believe that God put us together. And so, yes, sometimes he puts us together, and I believe I wouldn't be who I am today if it were not for Ashley. Why? Because my family was always saying, come back. You don't need to. Why would you? That's not a big deal. Get a union job. Why would you go? And my wife was saying, no, I sense something different. No, you need to finish your ordination. No, you... And so, see, there wasn't a battle between Ashley and I. There was a battle between a spirit world that was significant. And so that second yes to Ashley was also a second yes to the Lord. A second commitment to say, no, my dad's wrong. I shouldn't go back. I shouldn't step into, I love the union. That's how we made it through. So I'm not saying anything against that, but that wasn't the call that God had placed on my life. And I couldn't take that path. And so the second yes was not just about saying yes to her and affirming her that I would never forsake her, that I would never leave her, that I would never not love her. It was also a second commitment to Christ and saying, yes, okay, I get it. Your plan for me is bigger than today. It's bigger than going back. It's bigger than turning around. And I used to say to myself that I was sanctified before that, but in that time I would say that I really was sanctified and that I made a decision. And I remember it very clearly, and it was in New Jersey because we had gone there and had a big confrontation. And I remember saying to the Lord, I get it now. Like sanctification is me saying like, okay, my bent is now your bent. My decisions will now be based out of, I will no longer, the influence will have to be funneled through. I mean, you fill in the blanks. Because see, for each of us, it's different. But see, the second yes is where things really get interesting. Well, let's talk about it because y'all are looking at me like I'm, okay. And if you're young, I mean, marriage is great and I would never go away from it. In fact, is this crazy or what? But the other night, didn't we say it? I said, I need twin boys. I don't know why, but I just need them. And so anyway, y'all looking at me like I'm crazy, but I got these girls loving on them this weekend. Yesterday, I scheduled time out for each of them. Y'all awake? Hey, Indy, what are you doing in here? We're going to talk about that when we get home. Anyway, I need to get where they can understand. So there's something about the second yes. I wouldn't trade it for anything. There is nothing that I'd trade the second yes for. I mean, I love my parents. I pray for them. I think of them. I long to be in relationship with them. But I do not long to go back. I never want to go back. who I am today is only because of the second yes. So think about it. The first yes, and now we're going to shift to Jesus, okay? The first yes is exciting, right? We never forget it. We hold on to it. In the early church, you know, they actually made that their birthday. So for 300 years, you know, people would look at them like they're crazy because they would say, my birthday was yesterday. And they would say, wait a minute, you're like 30 years old. What are you talking? I'm just assuming. But anyway, I'm just saying people would look at them like they're crazy because their actual birth age wouldn't match the age they would share with other people. It wouldn't match the age that they celebrated. Why? Because they were so excited about their new birth in Christ that they often celebrated that. But see, there's something interesting about the first yes. Oftentimes when we accept Jesus and then we get off the high and we begin to walk through life, we'll say things to Jesus like this. Yes, until things don't go my way. Yes, until it's a little uncomfortable. Yes, until... See, that's how the first yes kind of works, right? And a lot of times it's kind of like this after salvation. Yeah, unless the Lord calls me to, now as a kid we used to say to Africa, right? Well, I've been to Africa and it's wonderful and the Christians there are incredible. In fact, we had service. Service didn't end. We walked out the doors every time and they just kept singing. I couldn't believe it. I said, why in the American church like this? So we say that, but let me tell you, there's something happening in some places of the world that I wish were more closely. So oftentimes we say to the Lord, yes, but unless I have to, yes, but I mean, if it means, unless I have to, see, in our first journey with the Lord, it's usually something like this. Yes, when it fits my finances. Yes, when it fits my lifestyle. Yes, when it fits my idea of what should be. Yes, when it fits my will. Right, y'all are getting uncomfortable, aren't you? So you should be thinking about where you fall. Because see, this should not ring true for any of you. It should be a distant memory. Yes, so long as he doesn't. I mean, I'm just giving you some examples so when you go home, you can fill it in. Yes, unless he tells me to. Yes, so long as he doesn't. Yes, I mean, I'm not going to read the word too deep because those New Testament Christians... Yes, only if. And see, for each of us, we can fill it in. See, for me, I could stand here, and I told the membership, I can only go off of my own experience. I don't want to share yours, even though sometimes I'm tempted to because it's good. And I mean like good stuff, like God-changing, spirit-changing stuff, but that's yours to tell. But there was many, many years where I thought, but I wasn't. And I began to evaluate the second yes. And ask myself, did I really? Because if I really said yes to the second yes, then why am I here? Why is my mind here? Why is my body here? Why am I struggling with? Why am I still holding on to? Why does it get to this point and then it always seems to? Why do I get mad at the pastor when? Because, see, what happens is, here's the misalignment with a lot of sanctified pastors in their churches. The sanctified pastor is on to the second yes, and the church is on the first. Whew. Y'all thought I couldn't preach old time, right? The first yes begins the journey between your mission field and his mission field. You say, well, wait a minute, aren't you? Yeah, I believe we can serve. I believe we can do a lot of things in between the first yes and the second yes. But I'll tell you this much. It's not as full. It's not as fulfilling. It's not as complete. It's not as whole. It's not as sold out as after the second yes. And oftentimes, it's only a part of the field because much of the field we're mowing. Much of the field we're taking care of. Much of the field we're saying, not here and not today. Saying yes to the second yes is the only way to understand what Paul is going through here. You say, well, what do you mean? How did you get the Spirit of God called him away, which created anger to form in the hearts of men and women? Interestingly enough, if we look at this, this is in the first chapter. He's establishing some things. He's saying, there's a reason I'm not here. Now, I would love to stand here biblically today and say, now remember, Corinth was a part of his first journey. He developed this church. He developed a love relationship with this church. He returned there as often as he could, right? So he really had a desire for them. He had a heart for them. But guess what? You know what? Sometimes when wills are so far apart from each other, okay, think about it. Jesus did this. When it becomes so evident that the divide is there, Paul felt like it was best to just, and what's interesting is he says, God is my witness. The Lord told me, don't go back there. It's not time. The people aren't ready. The Spirit of God called them away, which created anger to form in the hearts of men and women. Now, how do you get sanctification out of this? Well, as anyone, I mean, just think about it. Paul is a normal person, right? Can you just agree with me on that? Is Paul a normal person? Yes. He is filled with the Holy Spirit, and so he has the same desires that we do. And you know what our desire is? As much as we can, we want to do what? Make people happy. You know, as a pastor, it's one of my greatest desires. But every time I turn around, the Lord is saying, but that's not my desire. Because I've got a bigger plan and I've got a bigger picture. And so if you can just hold on to my picture, I need you to be more concerned about me than. And so what happens here is that Paul and the people weren't in line, and this letter had to come first, and the Spirit of God said to him, and so I don't know about this, but maybe I'm assuming something, but I really feel like here it's showing us Paul's sanctification. Because he put the will of the Father. Now this is not just like a couple of people or one of the churches. No, this is the church of this entire city. He said, I'm going to let you down. Because I can't go. Because the Spirit of God is saying. And so what we see here is a glimpse of Paul putting a beautifully flashing sign that, you know what, I'm into the second yes now. Because in my heart, because he ended it this way, he established that he loved them, that he wanted to be with them, but he couldn't. In fact, he actually says, for our boast is this, the testimony of our conscience, meaning his mind was clear, his mind was set, his mind was on the things above. And he was saying, this is my testimony, I am with Christ. And then he said, you know me, do I make my plans according to the flesh? Ready to say yes and no at the same time. You know when you're living in the first yes, you're constantly saying yes, yes, no, no. Why? Because when so-and-so gets in front of you, you say, well, yeah, I guess so. And then your mom and dad, and they say, well, and you say, well, no, I, and then you go back, well, yeah, and then you're like a chameleon. Young Christians who don't mature in the faith are chameleons. They are who they're around. But that's not Paul. And that tells us that he had experienced the second work of grace. It also tells us that in this letter, he was preparing them for another work of what? He writes it out of grace. Sanctification, your bent becomes bent toward the will of the Father. Think about 1 Thessalonians 3, chapter 3, verses 12 through 13, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Man. So church, I guess the first question is, and I'm just being real, where are you at? Are you in the journey between the first yes and the second yes? See, I would encourage you this, and we're pretty unified. But there is going to be some dissension between you and me if you're in a journey between the first yes and the second yes. And that's actually okay. Because I still have love for you, as I hope you still have for me. But it will be hard when I have to say, I don't know, on this side of the yes, the Lord's saying, and Paul was saying to the people, don't get mad at me. You know I don't work out of the flesh. It's evidenced I mean, if we could just be real with ourselves today, we know a lot more about Paul than even the people here in this day. And we know he does not what? Work out of the flesh. Church, unfortunately, Christians across this nation are working out of the flesh. When we used to sing that song, "Yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way," we sang it as a kid in revivals. It was funny, we always had a starting time for revival. Now, I'm 42 years old, and so we're talking like 27, 28 years ago when I first remembered some revivals, right? Even longer than that, but you just figure it out. Anyway, because I started going when I was a child, but, and 40 minus, because I was saved when I was 12, it was a long time ago. But I remember in the bulletin, I would say to Mom, they got a start time, but you know, I got to get to bed because I was a hard student in that I had to like go to school and learn and study at home. It didn't just come to me like my wife, like she just memorizes things. I sit at my desk and I'm like, "Honey, well, how do you spell?" And she's like, "Look it up." But anyway, just like my mom, she would say, "It won't help me to just," because my mom was very studious. Anyway, I remember in revival, they'd have a start time. And I would say to Mom, "When's the end time?" She said, "We don't publish that." "Why don't we publish that?" "Well, because the Spirit of God doesn't need to be published. We're going to meet there and we're going to go until it's done." And she was the pianist. And she was the faithful pianist. So she would get up after the evangelist like Stephen Manley and he would say, "All right, it's time to..." And she'd get up, and I'm telling you, some nights she'd play for, right, Mary? She'd play for an hour and a half. 10 o'clock come around, I'd be all excited because the first time in a year I hadn't, because the last revival I could stay up past my bedtime, and then the next revival was every year, unless it was the summer I got to stay up late. And I'm being truthful, like my mom was hard on that stuff. The only time we stayed up late was when church went late. And I can remember conversations like this. I can remember Stephen Manley saying things like, "Are you ready for more? Are you ready for the second? Are you ready to really understand me?" He would say things like that. I remember the conversations with some of the evangelists. They would say, "You don't really get me. You don't get my heart. You don't know why I'm in an old camper outside that just pulled up to give you the..." Because you're not on the second step. Church, when we get on the second step, there's something tremendously significant about it. And what is it? Well, things begin to really be understood. It's serious. Like, I can just tell you, the growth that I've had in the last 12 years is so much more significant than all my life put together. Why? Because all of a sudden, I started fully understanding some things that I didn't understand before. I remember, this is why I actually feel like I deserve it, and this is just how I function, because I'm really messed up in the head. But anyway, I wrote my pastor a letter. I should have never written it. But I was in this class, you know, for pastoral ministry, and I thought I knew everything because when you're 20, you do, right? Now I don't know anything. But I especially don't know anything because, like, we're transitioning to teenage children. That's a whole different world. But anyway, poor thing came down the other night just crying. I'm like, "Honey, what is going on?" And she said, "My bedpost inside is what? Rusting?" And she shoved a paper towel in there. And I said, "Baby, it's the middle of the night. Why are you even up shoving paper towels while it's rusting?" I'm like, "Honey, there's no rain in your bedroom. Like, it's all good." But, you know, she, emotions. Anyway, but I remember, and I want you to think about this for a second. Think about this. I remember going from understanding to saying, "Wow, this is different." This is like, Paul said this, "I hope you will fully understand just as you partially understood." This statement is a key statement. In fact, if you look, y'all want me to show you? Because y'all don't believe me. I have it circled right here because it's key, right? There's often times in this Bible where it shows you key statements. And this is a key statement because Paul was saying to the people, "You understood partially what I shared with you before. You understand the faith in a small way. But what I'm sharing with you is this information so that when I get back to you, you can come under what? Full understanding." This statement is key because he's referring to the coming of the Lord Jesus, which only the Father knows the day and time. 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2. Strange reference, right? Why in the world is Paul referring to that here? Because he was saying to the people, I'm not here for a reason. In fact, I didn't even know that I wasn't going to be here. It was the Lord that said, and because he said, that's the reason I'm not with you. Not because I don't want to be with you. And church, if we take that second step, we're going to fully understand why this and this and this happened. We're going to fully understand why things don't always work out. We're going to fully understand why good, solid, sanctified Christians get sick and don't get healed. We're going to get it. We're going to understand. There's just some things that she'll share with me and I'll say, I get it. And we'll look at each other and say, well, I don't understand how they don't get it. And I'm like, because they're not fully embracing the faith. They're still living in the... I still remember hitting the wall when Charlotte flatlined. And Charlotte, her namesake, was there, and a whole bunch of people from the church had decided to come up, and they were all there around the hospital and her tiny little self, and they began to, you know, do the movement. What is that called where they're like, do you remember that day? Of course you do. And I fell down the wall, and I just said, Lord, I don't know. I'm already deeply in love with this kid that's only been here a couple of months. But I'm going to trust you. And so whatever your will be, I'm going to understand that you understand more than me. Thankfully, we didn't have to deal with what could have been, and some have, and that's hard. When the plan changes, are we committed to the plan or are we committed to the purpose? Plans change, church. Your life, things change. But are you committed to the purpose? See, that's the difference. Or really, that's another difference between, are you fully committed to the purpose? The plan has changed, but the purpose never changes in Christ's mission field. So how do you really understand his mission field? Well, you seek me with all your heart. I, Christ, will show you. I, Christ, will show you, not the pastor, not the people around you, but I will show you. Do you trust Christ even when you do not like the plan? We say yes to God, not understanding God's plan. The second yes to believing God is working even when it is hard to see him working. You ever been there before? Where are you, God? You know what you don't do in those moments? Give up, retreat, stop, halt. You know what you do? You drive in. You push in, you seek more, you hold fast, you stand firm. I could start speaking all the words in the Bible. Over and over again in the New Testament, he tells us to hold fast, to stand firm. Sanctification brings full immersion, which brings full connection to the mission of Jesus. It's like you just get it. I can remember just getting it. I can remember saying, okay, I can handle rejection if it means I'm accepted, if it means I'm fully committed, if it means I'm fully immersed. What's interesting is this many years later, who do they call on when something happens? And I'm not bragging, but I've been faithful through the whole thing. And so when an issue goes on, I get a text, I get a call. Hey, can you? When my second cousin hung himself a couple weeks ago, who did they call first? Me. And you know what one of my cousins said? They said, you know, your church, like, really prayed for you, and you got healed, and so we want your church to pray. And so I said, okay, and I put that prayer request in the prayer room. See, church, there's a plan at work that's bigger than my feelings, that's bigger than my... All right, so according to what? This is the big question. If you're really going to understand where you are today, think about this. He says this, do I make my plans according to... Now, you know there are some people that read this letter and said, absolutely he does. I mean, he works out of the flesh. You can imagine it, right? I mean, we would have had that in church today. We have it in church back then. But he was defending himself and saying, hey, do I make my plans according to the flesh? Ready to say, he was basically saying, y'all, you know, I would not be doing this. And so let's think about this as just the final point, the closing of this. According to what? The question to understanding God's mission field can only be decided by you answering the question, according to is how I set my plans. According to, now you fill it in. My family, my friends, my finances, my time, my schedule, my retirement, my home, my boat, my, you fill it in. But here's sanctification. According to God's mission is how I set my plans. According to this is how my steps are planned. This is why when I do premarital counseling, I get so worked up about the first meeting. You can ask Carrie. I get nervous about most things. But anyway, it's good because I still rely on the Lord for all things. And so I get nervous. You know why? Because I've got to go in there right off the bat and say, look, there's a couple of things we have to get off the table first. Do you really believe in Jesus? Do the two of you understand that you both, are you saved? Are you, like, I don't just beat around the bush. We've got to start there because if you're going to be unified in spirit, that's got to be there. What's interesting, though, is that I deal with a lot more people when I sit down with the one person and they say, this person is not who I thought they were. They don't love the Lord like that. You know, men are good at that, right? They love Jesus before the altar. Then the altar comes and the wife comes to me and says, now it's 3 months later and I can't seem to get him to. I'm like, I know. I felt it. I sensed it. I figured that was going to be the, it's why I said what I said. And he duped us all. Now, I'm not trying to get on men. But if we look at the stats in our own church, right? But see, here's the problem. According to this family member, according to this friend, according to this spouse, according to this is how my steps are planned. That's hard. Do you make your plans according to the flesh? If so, then you will never understand God's mission for you, for your kids, your church. You fill it in. The second yes is a covenant yes. You know what a covenant is? Y'all don't want to study it in the Old Testament. Talk about sharing blood. A covenant in the Old Testament was like, that is it. If you broke that, now we don't have those kind of scenarios anymore where our word is our word is our word. But I'm telling you biblically, the second yes is a covenant. A covenant between you and God. That is huge. The first yes is like this. Well, I like this church. The second yes is I'm invested in this church. And many of you are that. Or I couldn't be here, or we couldn't be, or that wouldn't be, and this wouldn't. I mean, it just wouldn't. So there's a lot of people here I know that this is just a reminder. Because it's a long time good, really a long time incredible church with a lot of people saying, I'm invested in. So here's the incredible thing. There is a breakthrough in your second yes. There's a breakthrough. There's an understanding. There's an expansion. There's a peace. And Paul had it. And here's how he explains it. And it is God. Here's where he turns it all around. I love this. Wouldn't it be nice if you could just, when things go awry, you can just say, okay, I'm sorry you're upset with me, but it is God who establishes me. Let me read it the way that it actually. And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us and who has also put his seal on us and given us his spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Mary, do you want to just play for a minute? I know it's getting late. So think about it today. Maybe you want to dim the lights too, please. Can you say yes to the second yes? Can you say, I'm tired of my mission and God's mission always being in conflict? I'm telling you, there is peace in the chaos. There was chaos in that first year of marriage. And finally, when I just said, "What? I'm actually fighting against God's will. This is actually not about the marriage. This is the enemy's way of coming in and saying, I want you to." And when I said yes to that, it was like, just, I don't know how to explain it. Wouldn't you say? It was like, and everything changed from there. And I think had I not proceeded with God's will for my life, because I knew that I knew, and now I know that I know, I don't think I'd be the first text or the first call, because I think my life would have been radically different. I wouldn't be the one that they call and say, we really know your church is a church of. So can you say yes to the second yes, or maybe you already have. But if you haven't, it is time. It's time for you to understand. It's time for you to breathe a sigh of relief and say, my bet is yours. Think about this. God's mission can be understood through your full surrender. You know, I love that song, I Surrender All. My pastor in Killeen, because we ended up in Killeen, he said, why don't you sing I Surrender All more? I said, well, pastor, we just sing it. And we don't mean it. We got to be careful what we say out loud. We love to sing it, but it's dangerous. Because when we sing it, it means we're what? We're saying it. We're confessing it. And if we're not living it, then we shouldn't be singing it. Now that's old, hard time, I'm saying. That's today. It's the new year. We got to set the course off right. Oh, what's interesting is after the second yes, you kind of get a picture of God that I believe that you'll say, why didn't I do this earlier? I've been struggling, fighting, wrestling. We see it in the Bible, just wrestling with God. And I could have gotten it. And then I guess the last question is, what is your life according to? Now, some of you I know, and I know your spouse makes it very hard and they're not here today. That bothers me. It breaks my heart. I want to go take care of them. That's not biblical, but. And I know some of you can't help it. But some of you can stand up and say, look, I got to embrace God all the way. So you need to get it together. Because right now my life is according to you. But it's time for my life to be according to God. Those are hard conversations. And I'm still reaping, right? Reaping it. But I can't go back. And I won't. Because the issue is no longer Ashley. It's a God issue. I can't do what they want me to do if I'm going to be faithful to God. So where is your mind today? Where's your heart? Where does your soul sit? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, and the altars are open. This is a hard ask. But I'd like you to have a moment with the Lord today. Said something in membership on Wednesday that I should say more often, but oftentimes we hear and sense the prodding of the Spirit of God, and we don't respond. And I believe God comes and goes with His Spirit. That oftentimes those feelings after we say, well, I don't feel comfortable, I don't want to go forward, I don't want to. And then that prodding ends, and the Spirit moves on, and we miss out. And oftentimes it leads to our own regret, not from the Lord, but just in our wonder. I wonder if I would have just. Don't wonder today. Don't wonder today. Y'all came too far today to wonder. So are you ready to say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way? God, we thank you for this day, for this time. God, I thank you for that second work of grace that opened up my mind and my heart and my life, my future, contentment, peace. And what's crazy, God, as I think about some of the things that I longed for and had a desire for, you in time brought them along and said, here. So today, God, I would just ask that we wouldn't see it as what we lose, but that we would see it as what we gain. We gain so much when we get you fully. So Jesus, we just thank you for your presence, for your love. God, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you keep playing, Mary? And if you would, just enjoy the rest of your day. Be safe. I hope you'll join us for Sunday school. And if you are going to help us get the play center out from the shed to here, meet after Sunday school downstairs for some pizza, and then we'll head over. And so God bless you all. Thank you so much for being a part. Take your time going home today.